Brought to you by Charity Mobile, the phone company that supports life and family. 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite charity. Buy the way you believe at charitymobile.com and use promo code TRADITION.
I sometimes have to remind people that while we're watching all sorts of crazy things unfold in the world and weird things happen in the church, the Synod on Synodality is continuing.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
It hasn't stopped. They plan to keep this thing going until the fall with what should be the final big show of it, except they've already announced that there will be semi-permanent, meaning permanent, working groups that start meeting next year in 2025 to further promote their idea of synodality. This is a restructuring of the church in a soft kind of way. They want to level up the laity in the hierarchy, as well as the bishops and the priests, and sort of level down the papacy just a bit, and really level down the magisterium more broadly speaking. The point of this is to put decision-making into the hands of the laity. They've said this. Part of synodality is to put laymen and laywomen into running dicasteries in the church, having key positions in dioceses of decision-making, having laity often managing parishes. This has been experimented with, to some degree or another, for the past several years anyway, in various places where the vocations crisis is so bad that priests can't be spared to work in the local chancery office, where the bishop may have to go say mass somewhere publicly, not because he's a priest, as they always are, but because there simply aren't enough priests to go around, so he has to fill in himself. You see this happening in some dioceses. I'm aware of some dioceses on the East Coast where one priest will say 5 or 6 or 7 masses on a Sunday. You wonder why those priests in some places, right as soon as they're done with mass, they leave, and why confession is nearly impossible to get in some places. There simply aren't enough priests. So their answer to this is not to promote the Orthodox Catholic faith or to do anything that would actually really boost vocations, which is to actually teach the real faith and reform the liturgy to at least be reverential, if not to actually broaden access to the traditional mass. Those things have been proven to actually boost vocations. No, those are silly ideas. What they want to do is give the laity more power in the church. And by doing so, they can change doctrine and, yes, even dogma, or how dogma is understood. How do we know this? Because before Fiducia Supplicans, we had a big push by virtually every parish and diocesan and national bishops conference to have what became the contents of Fiducia Supplicans made the norm in the church. That's what they wanted. They also wanted deaconettes, which looks like they might get those too. Funny how that works. But you know, Cardinal Gresh, he's one of the co-chairs of the Synod on Synodality. He's from Malta. His Papa Billy is how he is seen by his peers as a potential candidate to be the Roman pontiff. That his stock for that has gone up a lot because he's co-chaired the Synod on Synodality along with Cardinal Hollerich, both of whom would make magnificent examples of a Francis II if they ever got power. I'm not saying they will, but their chances have gone up because they have been managing the Synod on Synodality. That goes without saying. Cardinal Gresh was asked in Ireland recently about Fiducia Supplicans and how it will impact the Synod on Synodality. And he gives a lot away in his answer here. His short answer is it's not going to affect the Synod at all. But there's a lot more to what he has to say than that. So let's go to the article, which comes from Detroit Catholic, with this headline. Cardinal Gresh says releasing Fiducia Supplicans won't affect future synodal session. And it shouldn't affect it, and here's why. The dialogue sessions from the last fall's synod meetings reflected what those national bishops' conference had said, what the dioceses had said, and what lay people had said at the parishes. They wanted the James Martin sin made normal in the church, made acceptable. You had a lot of that talk at the synod too, but they couldn't come to an agreement. Fiducia supplicans solved that problem for them. It gave them what the Vatican wanted. It's a sign that the synodal process has a predetermined outcome, and even if there are hiccups in the process, like with that issue. That was one such issue. And now, it's worth noting here that there will be another synod meeting in the fall in Rome. And what we're getting right now from the Vatican is a constant stream of news about deaconesses and deaconettes, as if there's going to be some kind of ruling from Francis on that to take the pressure off the synod on that, because the purpose of the synod on synodality is process. Change the process on how decisions are made by giving the laity power that once they're given, they will not surrender under any circumstances. And by the laity, I mean hand-chosen laity. Laity chosen by the powers that be in Rome, who will be useful for getting what those powers, those typically Jesuit powers, want out of the faith. Take a look at what Cardinal Gresh says. Quote, Cardinal Mario Gresh, Secretary General of the Synod, has said he was not informed about the publication date or the contents of Fiducia Supplicans, the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith's December 2023 document authorizing non-liturgical blessings, there's no such thing, but anyway, for double S-type couples and others in irregular situations. Speaking to OSV News, our Sunday visitor, at Ireland's National Marian Shrine in Knock, County Mayo, where he delivered the keynote address, at April 19th to 20th conference, Synodality Explored, Facing the Future Together, the Maltese prelate said he learned about the document, like everybody else, when it was published. The cardinal stressed that he was not saying his office should have been consulted. Each dicastery, he said, has the right and the duty to communicate to the church. It is normal practice of the Roman Curia. The dicasteries, he said, are there to help the Holy Father to fulfill his mission. Asked whether the document will inform the second synodal assembly in the autumn, he said it had, quote, nothing to do with either the previous synodal assembly nor with the forthcoming second session. The facilitator of the Knock Conference, Father Eamon Conway, professor at the University of Notre Dame University, Australia, who is an advisor to the General Assembly of the Synod of Bishops, told our Sunday Visitor News that, quote, synodality does not replace or necessarily suspend the ordinary work of a dicastery, which has to continue. Some of these documents have been worked on for quite a period of time, as we know from Dignitas Infinita, end quote. Remember, James Martin, his various activist organizations, and others who really want the church to accept the satanic position of the world on this issue have criticized the first synodal document as not giving them what they want, for barely mentioning the James Martin crowd at all in the document. I've maintained since Fiducia Supplicans was released that the purpose of Fiducia Supplicans was to take the pressure off of the synod, since synodality is about a decentralizing process that elevates the laity to positions in the church we have no place being in the first place. The James Martin sin was brought up numerous times in the synodal discourse, and it was often cited by virtually every parish, diocesan, and national bishops' conference as one of the key issues they wanted— the church to accept that sin that cries out to heaven for justice. Fiducia Supplicans delivered that because despite all those groups wanting it, the reality is most Catholics are at least uncomfortable with changing the church's teaching on that sin, if not outraged at the concept of it. Remember that, as you see this statement here. Quote, Father Conway, who is a priest of the Archdiocese of Tuam in the west of Ireland, said it was his view that documents such as Fiducia Supplicans and Dignitas Infinita could be composed, quote, in a more synodal key. Speaking about synodality and contentious questions such as double S-type pairings, Cardinal Gresh recalled how during the first assembly in the fall of 2023, the issue of, quote, integrating people who have a different inclination came up in one of the drafts of the synthesis report using a reference to the multi-letter acronym. We noticed that some had difficulty with that phrase and changed it. We did not change the content, but the wording and in the way. We managed to get a majority vote. Whereas we had left the phrase, I'm sure it would not have we've gotten the vote that it got, Cardinal Gresh told OSV News. We need to take into account the needs and the sensibilities of all, because our task is to try to reach a consensus and learn, as a church, how to arrive at something agreed by the wider spectrum, he said. During the two-day conference in Knock, Cardinal Gresh told participants from a number of Irish dioceses and faith groups
that engaging in synodality would help the church make the structures that are already in place work. One Irish bishop told him that although parish councils and pastoral councils were established under the Second Vatican Council and are enshrined in canon law, many parishes and some dioceses still do not have them, or if they do, they are not functioning. An urgent necessity is formation. Formation for all of us. No one is excluded, Cardinal Gresh stressed. The need for the people of God to come together and learn together, with nobody excluded, was one of the General Secretary of the Synod of Bishops' main themes in Knock. Another theme was the principle of circularity, and how the different parts of the body of Christ have a way of mutually enriching each other. He noted that while the gospel will not change, my understanding of the gospel can change, and that over the two millennia of the Church's history, it had proceeded with this dynamic understanding. End quote. The gospel doesn't change, but my understanding of the gospel can change. Very strange. That's relativism, basically. Yes, your understanding can go from wrong to correct, or perhaps in this case, correct to incorrect. This is why we have a magisterium, to teach us what the correct meaning of the gospel is. So I don't know why your understanding as an individual of the gospel can change is relevant at all. The gospel means what the church says it means. That's why we have the magisterium, to give us the correct meaning of it. Otherwise, we're no better than the Protestants who have 1,000 different interpretations of the gospel message. It's as simple as that. And the thing about the gospel is this. The gospel looks like a contradiction to people. It is simultaneously an open call to salvation, open to everyone, if they simply choose to accept it. However, the gospel does exclude those who choose to love something other than God. Loving what God has defined as sin is a violation of the basics of the gospel message. Thou shalt have no strange gods before me includes your weird hook, being hooked on sin to the point where you love it. Not that you struggle with it, that you're trying to break horribly bad sinful habits that you know are sinful. That's not the same thing as loving your sin. And there are people who love their sin more than they love God. And so what they try to do is try to get the church to change what they say about whatever sin it is they like. I've seen plenty of examples of this throughout history. It's just the James Martin one seems to be the one the culture seems most currently obsessed with. The core of this is you cannot love sin and love God at the same time. It's simply impossible. Synodality clearly is trying to thread the needle of making it possible to love God and sin at the same time, with Fiducia Supplicans and Dignitas Infinita as the roadmap for achieving that. That's what they're saying. And the process for that is synodality. Put the decision-making into the hands of the worst catechized generation in history who have suddenly been convinced that human beings possess infinite dignity, which is not something you'll find in the deposit of the faith, with Fiducia Supplicans as a big example of what infinite human dignity looks like in practice, if you can believe it. That's synodality, folks. That's why we keep using this image of souls being led off a cliff to the fires of perdition. Let me know what you think of this in the comments, please. Hit like and subscribe if you haven't. It does help. So does sharing this on social media. That helps a lot, too. And as always, pray for the church. I'm Anthony Stein. Ave Maria.